God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, because of Christ Jesus and your grace and mercy to us today, we call upon your name, giving thanks for all the blessings of this life, the opportunities of learning, the privileges of sharing. And Lord, together as we gather in this building this morning, we seek your guidance, your help, your comfort. And may we be able to leave after asking for your presence, rejoicing, knowing that it was good to be able to gather and worship in spirit and in truth. For these things we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Those of us who are seated here today comprise the faculty and student members of the chapel committee. Our purpose in functioning in chapel today is to encourage us all to grow in worship this year and find in worship the true place, the genuine place of worship in our corporate trek, in our theological pilgrimage. I shall read the scripture in a moment, but first I would like to read to you a statement which somewhat crystallizes that which we are about in this service. It is not only faith that produces fellowship. The reverse is also true. Faith grows out of fellowship. We need others to be able to believe. One cannot be a Christian by himself. All sorts of things may be done alone, but one cannot be a Christian alone. My own weak faith must constantly be awakened, renewed, strengthened, purified by the faith of others. We must come together really to believe. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We must learn that again. Everything today has become a matter of private property and private affairs, even faith. But faith must perish when it is alone. It can thrive only in fellowship. Hear the word of God. It is good to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to declare thy steadfast love in the morning and thy faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp and the melody of the lyre. For thou, O Lord, hast made me glad by thy work. At the works of thy hands I sing for joy. How great are thy works, O Lord! Thy thoughts are very deep. The dull man cannot know, the stupid man cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But thou, O Lord, art on high forever. For lo, thy enemies, O Lord, for lo, thy enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. But thou hast exalted my horn like that of the wild ox, and thou hast poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm of the tree, like the palm tree, and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bring forth in fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down upon the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
Let us together pray. We thank you, O God, for this time apart, for the opportunity of worship which is ours to experience together, so that our life and faith might be enlarged by the life and faith and fellowship of the other. We thank thee for the opportunity to lift our hearts and lives to bless you for all that you are and for all that you daily give to us, your children. We thank you not because you have made life easy for us, but because you give us strength equal to life's demands. We bless you not so much for what little we know, but for what under the inspiration of your Spirit we can learn. We do not thank you for what we have become, for often we have failed you, but we do thank you for what in your providence we may be. Today we pray for an awareness of God in this place, of his being with us in this pilgrimage, an awareness of the activity of God in our life as he would dwell within us. We pray for an awareness of each other and the special needs of this body, corporate as well as individual. We would pray that we would be aware of the needs of speaking words of encouragement and helpfulness to others in this fellowship. We would pray that we would be aware that your grace will sustain us and guide us in the pilgrimage which is ours during this year. And so we pray that your grace may sustain us, your truth enlighten us, your love save us, and your Spirit guide us in the meaning of worship as we offer this time and our lives for the ministry of God. In his name we pray. Amen.
Creatures I hear. It's nice to be with you. Now, from where I stand, I can see you fine, and I don't know if you can see me or not, though. If I had a sycamore, I'd climb up in it. But it is good to be with you this morning, and I just want to take a brief moment and thank you for giving me the opportunity and the privilege and the responsibility of being the chairperson of the chapel committee for this year. And I really look forward to working with these members of the faculty and my fellow students, with the student government as a whole, and with you as a student body, as we seek to advance God's will in His kingdom on this campus. E. Stanley Jones, in his book, Song of Ascents, relates a thought there which I have copied down onto the cover page of my own Bible. He says, and this is a paraphrase, "I have seen the lonely faces of men, and I have seen the loving face of Christ. And with the help of God, I shall spend my life bringing the two together." As I ask myself, what is worship? It seems to me that it is simply the spending of life. Worship is our self-giving to God in response to His wonderful love and His great glory. And if we accept this definition of worship, then we notice that worship must be a constant thing. It involves the continuous adoration of God on our part. It involves the constant interpretation of our lives lived under God. It involves the never-ending work on our part under God. In short, worship, as I see it, is unflagging dedication. Yes, the spending of our lives in response to Almighty God. Now, what does that mean this morning for you and for me? It means, I believe, that we should worship in this house of God as opportunity presents itself, but it means more than that. I personally feel that our worship should go beyond the 10 o'clock hour, should go beyond these four walls. It means that we worship in the classroom through the giving of our minds to God, through the giving of our thoughts to each other. It means that we worship in our association with one another through the things that we say, through the concern and the love that we show for one another, and through the thoughts that we have. So then, with God's help and through the power of the indwelling Christ in our lives, it is the desire of this committee to help bring about a greater sense this year of fellowship and worship among those who make up our seminary family. Our prayer is that we shall be willing to spend our lives in worship to Him who did so much for us. Now, I must confess this morning that I requested that Nat Burgess sing that hymn. That happens to be my favorite hymn, and I just don't think anybody can sing it like Nat can. And the words of that hymn sum up my own personal hopes for our fellowship this year, if I may change the pronouns to the plural. "Be Thou our vision, O Lord of our heart. Naught be all else to us, save that Thou art. Thou our best thought by day or by night. waking or sleeping, thy presence our light. Be thou our wisdom, and thou our true word. We ever with thee, and thou with us, Lord. Thou our great Father, and we thy true sons, thou in us dwelling, and we with thee one.
As also an individual part of the committee, which will be responsible to a certain extent for the schedule and the mechanical arrangements of our formal worship together as a seminary community, I would like to offer for this part of our meditational thinking, on behalf of this committee, three affirmations which have grown in strength for me with the passing of time. I invite you to ponder them and to share them insofar as you are willing. The first of these affirmations concerns the centrality of corporate worship for the Christian community, even this one. The two-sided delusion overcomes us easily in this context, the one side causing us to regard as irrelevant to each other the activity of the mind in its hard and passionate pursuit of truth, and that attitude of our whole selves which regards the God of truth with reverence and awe. The other side of the delusion comes upon us just as easily, that careless assumption that because we are who we are, studying what we are, where we are, that worship is naturally a part of all that we do, so why set aside a particular time for it? It seems, though, that both the scriptural witness and the testimony of the church affirm the importance of the gathered response to the presence of God in our history. Our faith is personal, to be sure, but it is far from private. And so it expresses itself as part of a community of those who share its pilgrimage. The second of these affirmations pertains to our corporate worship together, and that is that worship of the gathered Christian community can take place in a variety of forms. It is an ever-present danger, even in contexts such as this one, for the form of an expression to take precedence over that which it is intended to express. The quip of a person leaving this chapel some time ago, after a rather non-traditional worship service, saying, "You worship God in your way and I'll worship Him in His," is indicative of a characteristic element of all of us, which is somehow frightened by, resists, and in fact rejects that to which we are unaccustomed. As far as I am able to tell, though, from a limited study of both the Bible and the life and the thought of the church, God has not at any time limited the ways, the times, or the places in which He may choose to reveal Himself to us, nor has He limited the ways in which we may respond to Him in worship. As the total experience of response to the presence of God, our worship may involve many modes of expression, even some with which we may not be familiar. This committee invites you to join us in affirming our liberation from the tyranny of the familiar by our willingness to join in the many forms of worship which will be available to us in this time and place. The third affirmation is really more a caution, and it concerns the ease with which a basic selfishness creeps into even our experiences of corporate worship. When our worship, for one reason or another, becomes an effort to have our needs met, it ceases to be what we are claiming it to be and becomes instead a pious act of selfishness, which is the worst kind of all. Our passionate quest for self-gratifying affirmation and our shallow search for entertainment do not become worship merely because we pursue them in the sanctuary. They become, instead, subtle but real, expressions of that form of idolatry which takes that which is pleasing and satisfying to our personal or professional fancies and declares that to be the revelation of the Word of God. You are invited in these moments, as in all the moments which are ours to share as a community, to share these affirmations and this caution, that our worship in this place and in other places may be the integral part of the common life of the church that true worship has always been among the people of God. Is it too much to hope that in this context we may affirm together the importance of our corporate expression of worship and praise? Is it too much to hope that we may open ourselves to the presence of God in whatever ways He may choose to reveal Himself to us? Is it too much to hope that in this context we may be, in fact, liberated from the tyranny of our own need for entertainment, that we might worship God in spirit and in truth? This committee dares to hope that it is not too much to hope. We invite you to join us.
Please stand with us for the benediction. Our Father, in this quiet moment, as we thank you once again for your presence, for the joy that's deep within our souls because of Christ, for the encouragement, the understanding of the forgiveness of our sins, for the honor that we claim in knowing Christ and calling ourselves Christians, may we leave with the desire to even show others what it means to know Christ. May we leave rejoicing in your love, accepting and claiming your promise that you would never leave us. For these we give thanks as we pray, believing in the name of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.